The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parashas, Parashas Vayigash. Now, in Parashas Vayeshev, we start to learn about Yosef and his brothers. This goes on through Vayeshev and Miketz and Vayigash and Vayechi. We have four sedras that deal with this. And then Vayigash, I started to give a shiur on Yosef and Yehuda, which I said we would continue this week. Let me just recap a little. It'll be impossible to go into the entire shiur of last time, because that would take an hour. So let me just recap a little of what we spoke about last time. And that is, there are many questions on these sedras. For example, states, this is in Vayeshev, that Yosef, Yoveh Yosef is dibosam ro, he brought Loshon Hora against his brothers to his father. Yisrael ohavesh Yosef mikol echov. Yaakov loved Yosef more than all of the other brothers. Why? Also like Seinus Pasim, he made him a coat of many colors. What did this represent? His brothers saw this and they hated him for it. Seems rather extreme and radical that they were prepared to kill him. There were the dreams of Yosef. Then we find that two brothers came into high profile in saving Yosef. One was Reuven. Reuven said, do not kill him, rather put him in a pit. And he did this in order to come back and save him. And then later Yehuda. Yehuda said, why should we leave him in the pit to die? That's better, we will sell him. Then we find also that Yosef was nanesh, received a punishment, very, very severe punishment. Chol Beishonah, 22 years. He was separated from his father and his family. They did not know of his whereabouts. Besides all of the enormous trials and tribulations that he went through when he was in Egypt. And we find also that Yehuda received the punishment, because right after the story of Yosef, when he was sold to Egypt, and it states that Yosef, and right before Yosef Hurad Mitzroima went down to Egypt, the Torah interrupts that to tell us that during this time Yehuda went down from his brothers. And the Chazal say it was a Yerida, he was cast down because of his role in the selling of Yosef. The fact is, Rashi brings they cast him down from his greatness, because when they saw the great suffering that the selling of Yosef was causing the father, they said, it's your fault, because you are the ones who told us to sell him. If you would have told us to bring him back to our father, we would have listened to you. And we see that he was punished. This also needs explanation, because actually Yehuda came to save him. So we had all of these questions. We said that although every son of Yosef, of Yaakov, the Yud Bei Shiftei Kor, were perfect, they were great and tzaddikim, there were two in particular that stood out, and that was Yosef and Yehuda. There were others also, but Yosef and Yehuda, that both of them were mukhanim, they were predisposed to become firstborns. When we say firstborn, means to take the crown of the Bechorah, of the firstborn, And also both were Mochonim Lamalchus. They were also predestined, both of them, to become great kings. And they had these abilities. And we brought many sources to this and reasons, which again we cannot repeat them all over. But, for example, the bracha that Yehuda, that Yaakov gave to Yehuda, was he was compared to the Gur Aryeh, the lion. The lion is the king. Ishtachavu lecho b'nei avicho. All of the other brothers will bow to you. Le'yosu shevet miYehuda. The caste of kingship, the staff of kingship, will never be removed from your family. Ad ki yoveh shiloh, until the Melech HaMashiach will come. V'lei yikas amim, and all the nations of the world will be gathered to him. And from Yehuda came Malchus Yisrael, came Peretz, and came David, and came Shlomo, and the Melech HaMashiach will come from there. The first, actually, this kingship should have been given to Reuven, because Reuven was the firstborn of Yaakov. The Gemara tells us that it was taken away from Reuven because of the hate of Reuven, which he did, and it should have been given then to Shimon and Levi. Shimon, or next to Levi, the next ones. It was taken away from Shimon and Levi. This Yaakov castigated them. In his brachas, he said, Reuven, he said, Yeser Seis v'Yeser Oz. You should have gotten the kingship and the firstborn birthrights. But ki oliso mishkevei avicho, you went up against the bed of your father in that episode that took place there. It was taken away from him by Shimon and Levi. They were next in line. But kli chomas mecheiriseihem, Yaakov castigated them because their utensils became the arms which they stole from Esau. They were too militant. They went and they wiped out the town of Shechem, the episode of Dinah. They were two which were very, very involved in, the Gemara tells us, the Chazal, in the plot against Joseph. So therefore he passed over them. Next in line was Yehuda. So therefore Yehuda received this kingship, and he should have also had the firstborn birthright. Yosef, we find also, was groomed to be the firstborn birthright, have it, and also king. He was the firstborn of Rochel. And Rachel was Akeres Habayis Eishes Yaakov, the main wife of Yaakov, and that was the reason why Yaakov galatz by ladies Davi Gates Lovan Elabishvil Zeh. He came to the house of Lovan for Rachel. So therefore Yaakov always looked at Yosef as his firstborn. And Yosef also was a power to be a king. In his bracha it states, Nezer Echov, he shall be the crown of his brothers. And we see that he was a king. He became a mighty king over Egypt and a king over the entire world, because at that time the famine, the Gemara tells us in the last parak of Psochim, that the famine stretched over the entire world and they all had to come to buy corn and grain from Yosef. Now, there cannot be two kings and there cannot be two firstborns. And this was the tremendous strife that was going on. And Yaakov was choosing Yosef. Why? That also we went into great length. Because the Medrash tells us, Ela told us Yaakov Yosef. Every son inherited a certain aspect of Yaakov. Yosef inherited all of Yaakov. The Medrash tells us he looked like Yaakov. And everything that happened to Yaakov happened to him. And Kol Chochmosai, all of the wisdom of Yaakov was given over to Yosef. And it goes through 12, 13, 14 different similarities. And he was Sitno Shleishov. Yaakov only was confident to return from the house of Laban after Yosef was born, because he was the one that he could use to fight against Esau. He inherited all of Yosef, all of his father, all of Yaakov. And even further, Bara tells us in Seita Daf Lamed Vav that Yosef was so great, he could have given birth to the 12 Shvatim himself, which only Yaakov did. But because of a certain stumble, he gave birth only to 2 Shvatim, Ephraim and Manasseh. Ephraim and Manasseh was Keruven B'Shimon. They became full-fledged Shvatim, equal to Yaakov's sons. And the other 10 Binyamin gave birth for, and he called them all, the Gemara tells us, after the name of Yosef. But they did not rise to that level. So it was because of this Yaakov chose Yosef, and he made him a Ksenas Pasim, a coat of many colors, to signify this. And the Chalema is the dreams that Yosef was having were the voice, were prophecies, how he would reign and he would become the king. The brothers, on the other hand, they had understood that the Malchus of Israel will go through Yehuda, and he was the one that should be the first, have the firstborn birthright if it was taken from Reuven, not Joseph. And he was the one to be king. And the perfection of the world, which would come through the Melech HaMashiach, would come through Yehuda. And here Yosef was upsetting this whole plan. Yosef was flouting this. And they looked at him as a false prophet, a false king, a false messiah, and whatnot. And therefore they chose to take action against him. And the Torah tells us that the action he took. With this we also answered why Reuven and Yehuda are the two which are most prominent in this. Because Reuven was the firstborn by birth. He said that if anything happens to Yosef, I'll be blamed. And therefore he stood up to save him. The Gemara tells us in Brachas that when Leah named Reuven, she named him with the prophecy, Reuven, see how great my son is. Because my son, his birthright was taken from him by force and was given to Yosef. And still he went and saved Yosef. Well, by my father-in-law's firstborn, he sold his birthright, Esau, to Yaakov, and he shouldn't have had any complaints, and then he wanted to go kill Yaakov. Yehuda plays a very prominent role because the main strife was between Yosef and Yehuda. And this is the greatness of Yehuda, that he stood up to save him. And the Chazal tell us that Yaakov always suspected, he never believed this story that Chayaro Achlosuhu, he was torn by a wild animal. He always suspected that it was the brothers. He knew of the strife, and it was Yehuda. And when he said Chayaro, he was referring to the Gur Ayeh, the lion. And when he gave him a brocha later on in Parshas Vayechi, so there Yaakov said, he gives him a brocha, and he says, "Viterv b'ni olisho, Gurai Yehuda, you are aligned. Viterv b'ni olisho, and you removed yourself from the prey. See, I was mistaken. It wasn't you. You removed yourself. You turned back from the prey." So this explains to us their prominence. And now we answer another question with this. After the son saw that they shouldn't have done this, because Ra'at Soras Avihem, they saw the great suffering they were causing their father, so they blamed Aaron Yehuda. Why? He's the one who tried to save him. So my Rebbe Rav Gifter would say, but it's in the Medrash, they blamed it on Yehuda and they said, you should have told us to give him back to the father, and we would have done so. Why? Because you're the Melech. See, the Yehuda was the Melech. They had recognized him as the king. And therefore they blamed it on him. And that's why it states, they cast him down from his greatness. He was no more king by them, and he had to go away into exile. So we see both Yosef, it states, both of these kings. Yosef Hurad Mitzrayim, he went down, and Yehuda, he went down. They both were cast away from their gedulase, from their greatness. With this also we explained why we find that the most lavish brochas were given to Yosef. And not only that, but the word brocha in all of the brochas that Yaakov gave to Yosef is not mentioned by any of the brochas except Yosef. And the Gaon brings out, because the main brochas that Abraham gave to Yitzchok and Yitzchok gave to Yaakov, Yaakov was giving to Yosef, as it states. He says that Birchais Horai, the brochas of my brochas have become greater than my father's and grandfather's brochas, and they should all be on your head. They should all come down on you. And therefore he was the Baal Brocha B'Yosef. In the Divrei Yomim, the Gemara brings Divrei Yomim, in which we quoted in Perek Hei, Posuk Aleph and Beis, Uvenei Ruvein Bechor Yisrael. Ruvein was the firstborn of Israel. Kihu Abachor, he was firstborn. Uvechala leYitzuya Oviv, but because he desecrated the bed of his father, Nitna Becheirosei Livnei Yosef. So the firstborn was given to the children of Yosef. Velo liYishyachesh laBachora, and he did not associate with this firstborn birthright. And ki Yehuda gavah be'echov v'lo nogid mimenu, and Yehuda became the nogid. Yehuda became the king v'abachira le'Yosef, and the firstborn birthright to Yosef. So this was the strife that was going on. Now, let us go further, in as much as time allows. Even though they were both kings, and to become very, very great kings, each of their qualities were different, totally different. The Gemara brings in Masechta Seita, and Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis, and also on Daf Yud Amud Beis, Omar Rav Kana Bar Bizna Omar Rav Shimon Chasida, Yosef Shekidi Shem Shemayim B'Seisa, Hesifa Olav Os Achas Mishmoy. Yosef, in one of the Ksuvim, his name is written Yehosef. Not Yosef, but Yehosef. An extra hey was given to his name. Why? Because he was Mekadesh Shem Shamayim B'Seisher. He sanctified Hashem's name secretly. Yehuda Shekidesh Shem Shamayim B'Farheshya. Yehuda that sanctified Hashem's name publicly, Nikra Kula Al Shmei Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His whole name is the Shame of Hashem, because the Shame of Hashem is Yud, Hey, Vav, and a Hey, and all of that is in Yehuda. Yehuda has a Yud, a Hey, a Vav, and a Hey. Then the Gemara says, where's an example of Yosef sanctified Hashem's name secretly? privately. So brings the Ubda, the case of Potiphar, Ashes Potiphar, the wife of Potiphar. Well, she enticed him and enticed him. It was a long, drawn-out process there, day after day after day. And she was Givirta, she was the mistress. She was wealthy and powerful, and she would have awarded him handsomely. Nevertheless, he was a young boy, and he was away from his family. Nevertheless, he wouldn't submit. He was Kiddush Shemayim, Shem Shemayim, B'Seisa. Where was Yehuda Kiddush Shem Shemayim B'Farhesha publicly? The Gemara brings two cases, one here and one in that field. One case was where in the, which we have in this Sedra by Tomar, because when he saw Tomar and he thought she was a harlot, and he offered to pay some money to her, and she deceived him. She had a different calculation because she was married to one of his sons, and then again to another son, and Yehuda was supposed to give her another son, and he didn't, and she wanted children from Yehuda's family, and she told him, he said, what is your price? He said, I'll send you Gdi Izim, I'll send you a goat. And she said, what will you give me in the meantime? And he gave her, she said she wanted his staff and his signet ring and his cloak. Then later on, when it was found out that she was pregnant, Yehuda was the shofet, he was the judge, he said, Otsihu v'sisoref, take her out and let her be burnt. And she would not disgrace him. She would not say who fathered these children. She was carrying twins. And the Gemara says, Mutav, it's better a person should throw himself into a fiery furnace than disgrace someone publicly, because this would have been from the enormous scandals, because Yehuda was the prize of the children of Yaakov, and he was the one that Malchus' kingship was to come from, and he was the judge of the people. And here she would have brought this scandal out, this would have been an enormous public disgrace, and it would have ruined him totally. So this was the task that Yehuda was faced up against. So instead she said, he would say, I am pregnant from the one who owns these. Let him recognize the ring, the cloak, and the staff. And Yehuda publicly recognized it, and he said, Sotko mimeni, she is righteous, they are from me. I did not give her to my son Shelo. Now that was a Kiddush Hashem B'Farhesha, the Gemara says, because there he had placed the judgment of Hashem, the Mishpat, and he had placed the truth supreme even at the cost of self-destruction. And this was all B'Farhesha, publicly. So Yehuda Kiddush Shem Shemayim B'Farhesha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you sanctify Hashem's name, you strengthen His name. You strengthen His name privately. You strengthen part of His name. Publicly, all of His name. So therefore, all of the letters of Hashem was placed in Yehuda's name. And this was even before this Leah did this, without perhaps realizing what would take place. She is the one who gave him the name of Yehuda. That's one case. Another case the Gemara brings, by Nachshon, his descendant, that when they came to the Yamsuf, the Red Sea, and nobody wanted to jump in because the waters were raging and the Egyptians were coming down behind them, Nachshon jumped in And he said, Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Vo'ed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should reign forever and ever. And the waters parted, and everyone else followed. This was sanctifying Hashem's name publicly. So this was Yehuda. Therefore we see that they had different approaches. Yosef B'Sesher, Yosef was secretly, privately, low profile. Yehuda publicly. Now, first let us discuss, talk about Yehuda. In general, this we see with Yehuda and his descendants. For example, from Yehuda came David. David was an aggressive person. He went and he pursued all of the enemies. It states that his pachad, his name, and his fear was cast over the entire world. And Yehuda also was like that. He resembled the lion. And the lion is someone that's not low profile, but high profile. He lets everyone know who is the boss, that he is the king. And everyone is afraid to come near him. And this is also true with the descendant of Melech HaMashiach. Lo yikas amim, the Melech HaMashiach will not be low profile. But states, Naru elov kol amim, all of the nations in the world will come to him. They will all know of him. And Shai Lamelech, they will all bring a tribute to him. And Bayeim Ahuyi Hashem Echad Ushmayachod, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name will be in its total fullness in that time because of the Melech HaMashiach. And in the Brachas we see that Yaakov blessed Yehuda, Yotcho Be'erif Evecho, your hand will be in the back of the neck of your enemies. What does that mean? Because they'll be running from you. You will be chasing them. And this is why also that Yehuda always was B'risheno. By the Diglei Midbar, when they marched, Yehuda was on the Mizrach. The Mizrach is the beginning of the world. That's where the sun rises. And he marched first, like a king should. And this is why we find that Yehuda will be the king, and his descendants will be the king in Eretz Yisrael and in the Gula, the time of the redemption, on the time when Klal Yisrael was well established in Eretz Yisrael, where the name of Yisrael, the name of the king, and the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu will go through the entire world. Now, where did this midah, where did this quality come from? Firstly, this comes from his mother Leah. Can you just open a few windows? I think it's too hot. Leah was the firstborn. The firstborn is always the Rishena. Takes an aggressiveness by nature. Open them more. She was the first one to marry Yaakov. She was the first one to give birth to children, to the Shvatim. And this also was her nature. For example, Vateitze Leah Likrosei, Vateimer Eilai Tovei. She wanted children so much from Yaakov, it states that she went out, she was Yotzonias. She went out to get what she wanted. She went out that night and she told Yaakov, you are to come to me. I bought you this night from Rachel. So that's the first thing. Secondly, when she had Yehuda, which was her fourth son, when she had her first son, she was delighted. When she had her second, it was even more. Her third, third son was a hallmark, because she said now she has her full portion of the 12 sons. There were four wives. But when she had Yehuda, her fourth son, Then she was more than delighted. She said, "Now natalti yesh michalki. Now I have taken more than my share." And when a person is given more than his share, then he is full of thanks and praise with a full heart. And she praised Hashem. And she said, "Hapam ode es Hashem. This time I will praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because notalti yesh michalki. Not only has he given me my due, but more than I should have. Al kein koroshmo Yehuda." And therefore his name was called Yehuda. The word Yehuda means to pray, hoda, to praise Hashem. The Gemara in Brochas and Avches Amad Beis, the Gemara brings Omer Rabbi Yechanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yehoi. Yechanan said in the name, excuse me, it's on Davzayin Amad Beis. V'yayim shebora HaKadosh Baruch Hu eseilomai, from the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created his world, lohoyo odom shohode la'HaKadosh Baruch Hu at shebosa leo v'haydosei. There was no one that praised HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a fullness of heart like until Leah came. And she said, "Hapam eides Hashem. Now I will praise Hashem with a full heart." Now Haidor means to give praise, shvach, b'farheshya, publicly. For example, the Gemara says, "Hoidah, arba tzrichim lahodos." Four have to give hodah. That's when we bench gomel, someone that something special was done to them, for them. And gomel can be benched only with a minion. It has to be publicly. Now this was ingrained in Leah, and it was ingrained in Yehuda by birth. The hate of Yehuda, what was his shortcoming? His shortcoming came from this itself. He was strong. He was a leader. He was a king. He was ferocious. Now when he came and he stood up against Yosef in order to stop Yosef from usurping his malchus, his kingship, for sure he was l'shem shemayim. He did it in the name of Hashem. But there was a little of his own interests involved also. A person, we have to be very, very careful when we do something for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we gain from it also. We have to be very careful who we're doing it for. Hashem or for ourselves? How much for Hashem and how much for ourselves? If we do something and we gain nothing from it, that's a different story. Then we know we're doing it for Hashem. But if we do something and we have benefit, personal benefit. Now here he was doing it in order to save the Malchus Yisrael, which history would be fastened through. But at the same time he was saving his own Malchus. And his ferociousness to go and do evidently was also in his own interest. And the same with the brothers. When Yaakov castigated them, he told Shimon and Levi. Shimon and Levi were, the Chazal tell us, were two of the main instigators. It says, "Vayemi ish el ochi." One said to the brother, which are the two brothers always, Shimon and Levi? He said, "Ubitzenom ikru shor." Shor was Yosef. Yosef was compared to the bull. "Ubitzenom ikru shor." You wanted to destroy the shor, bitzonom, because of your own rotzen. He says, not because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was because of your own desires. That's what he put his finger on. Ubitzenom ikru shor. And this was the finger that was pointed against Yehuda. It is true, he acted l'man malchus Hashem, for the kingship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he also acted to save his own malchus. Now, to be a king in Israel, you have to be a great person. You have to be more than a great person. You have to be almost perfect, as humanly perfect as one can be. And this was a pagam. This was a great shortcoming in the kingship of Israel. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no. He said, Vayered Yehuda Meisachor, you shall be cast down, and you have to perfect this shortcoming. And which he did. How do we see that he perfected this shortcoming? Because the ultimate test which he was given was the case of Tomer. Now here we had the situation of Tomer, that he went and he saved the life of Tomer. It states Yehuda. Hodah has two meanings in Hebrew, Loshon HaKodesh. One it means to praise, and one it means to admit. And here he admitted publicly that Sotko Mimeni, that she is righteous and I'm the guilty one. And that was the ultimate praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he placed the law of Hashem above everything else. And Befarheshia, there could not have been more public than this. Everyone was to know about it. Now, did he do that L'shem Shemayim, or did he do it for his own interests? There was just the opposite. He would gain everything if he would conceal the truth. Let her be burnt. I'll say she was an orphan. She wasn't that important. Let her be burnt. He was the king. You can't destroy the king's life for the sake of an orphan. And a king that David HaMelech was supposed to come from, and Shlomo HaMelech was supposed to come from, and the Melech HaMashiach was supposed to come from. How many times do we try to justify an end by doing evil means? So that was one cheshbon, that for sure, let her be burnt. Nobody's going to miss her. And save the history of the world. That would have been all in his interests. But he could say also the interests of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because the Mashiach. Or on the other hand, admit that he is guilty and she is innocent. You'll save her life, but he will totally destroy his own life. Now there he has nothing to gain. And Tzotka Mimeni, he said, Vayakir. Actually, Rashi brings, she deceived him with a goat, just like he deceived his father with a goat, because they took the goat's blood and they dipped Yosef's coat in it. This was all for that episode. And we see the enormous height that he rose to the point where he could be almost inhumanly perfect, that he was prepared to destroy himself totally with all of the religious cheshbonos, to destroy himself totally leman ha'emes, in order to uphold what's right and wrong, what's true and false. And the Medrash says, at that time, a voice came from heaven and said, Yehuda, you proved yourself to be a proper judge in this case. You will be a shofet l'chol ha'olam. Your descendants will be a judge for the entire world. And that's what David HaMelech was, and that's what the Melech HaMashiach will be. Not only he did not destroy himself, but he saved himself, because she was carrying parrots. And from parrots, eventually came Boaz, and from Boaz eventually came Obed, and then Yishai, and then David. He would have put her to death, his malchus would have been totally destroyed. And in reality, this is the ultimate of kings by Israel. To bring greatness and publicize not their own name, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world, and the honor and glory of Hashem, not like the Malchei HaGoyim, like the kings of the Goyim, where they're interested in promoting their own names, but to be Mefarshim the Shem Hashem. In Parsha Shoftim, Perek Yud Zayin, Posuk Yud Ches, it states, V'hoyo kishiftei al kisei mamlachtei, that when he is sitting on the throne of his kingship, he shall write for himself a Mishnei Torah. He shall write for himself a Torah. And this should be with him all of the days of his life, in order that he shall learn to fear Hashem and to guard all of the Divrei HaTorah Azos. Levilti rum levove me'achov. In order not to become arrogant over his brothers, to build up his own name and prestige. Ulevilti sur min ha-mitzvah, in order that he shall not turn from the mitzvahs to the right or to the left. And then his days on the throne will be he and his children for many, many years. In the Mishnah Novus, it states in Novus Perek Vov Mishnah Vov, the Memches Vorim Shatere Niknesh Behem, 48 qualities that one needs for Torah. The last one that is mentioned is Ha'eme Dove B'Shem Emrei, that when you hear Divrei Torah from another person, you have to have the quality that when you say that Divrei Torah, you mention the name of the person that you heard it from. And then the Mishnah says further, whoever says over something and repeats the name of the person that they heard it from will help to bring the redemption to the world. We learn from Esther, because when Mordechai told Esther about these two people that were plotting to kill the king, Esther told the king in the name of Mordechai. And eventually that's why the king rewarded Mordechai, and that helped to bring the downfall of Haman. So maybe Gula Laila. Why? The Maral says, he says, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he brings the Melech HaMashiach, it's very possible that the people of that generation will say, look, so many generations and the Melech HaMashiach never came, and in our generation it came. It must be because we're so frum, must be because we're so good, we're better than all the other generations. And that's just the opposite why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives kings to Israel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives kings to Israel not so they should promote their names or promote the names of the generation that they come in. He gives kings to Israel in order that they can promote his name. States, V'hoye b'yom ahu yashem echod u'shmo echod, that when the Melech HaMashiach comes, then my name will be in its fullness and throughout the whole world. And here these people are saying, look, our generation, the Mashiach came, they're using it for their own name. So they're ma'akev es ha'gula. Anyone that thinks like that prevents the gula, prevents the Mashiach from coming. But a generation that will say, the Mashiach came in our generation, and there were so many generations of tzaddikim, of righteous people, and lomdim, and great Torah scholars, far greater than us, and it still came in our generation, and must have been all of their merits. Must have been their merits. Now they're saying over something b'shem Omro. They're not relating it to themselves, they're relating it to others. That's the generation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring the Geula. Like Esther, she didn't give this information to the king to promote her name. She gave it to the king in the name of Mordechai, which promoted his name. This is the purpose of kingship in Israel. This is something very important for us to know. And therefore, Yehuda passed it with flying colors. He was willing to promote Hashem's name of what's right and wrong in the world, even at the cost of total destruction. Oh, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, that's the king that I'm looking for. Because Yehuda, that's praise to me. And that's why it states, Yehuda ki d'shem shemayim v'farheshya, he promoted my name publicly. He put his own name back. He promoted my name. What was he rewarded? Kodesh Baruch Hu says, if that's how careful he is about my name, and he's willing to destroy his own name for my name, then I'll give him my name. Pulashmai. And the whole name of Hashem was given to Yehuda and his descendants. This explains Yehuda's role. Now we come to Yosef. Yosef was just the opposite. He was Kiddushem Shemayim B'Seisar. He was always low profile, always in secret, always incognito, always unidentified. This is the quality not of Pirshum, but of Snius. The quality of, in Yiddish it's called Behalten, someone who holds himself very low profile, unidentified. When we see this, we see all the time was like Yosef. The brothers never knew who he was. They never really recognized his greatness. They never recognized his qualities of kingship. They held him for a false prophet or a fool that has visions of grandeur. Aviv Shomar Es HaDover. Father recognized him, but not the brothers. When he came to Egypt, he was totally incognito, unidentified. They knew who, they didn't know who he was. They said, he's an Eved, he's a Nar, he's a young boy, child. They said, he's an Ivri from the other side of the river, an Eved. And he was totally, constantly lost. Muvla Beina Amim, swallowed up amongst the nations. From his father and his brothers, the Egyptians never knew who he was. They didn't know his greatness until it was revealed at the time of the dream of Pare. Then he realized, Ish Novim V'Chochem Kiseh, he's such a wise person. But even then, they didn't know who he was. They didn't know where he came from, who he was. Mativa Shalom Kiseh, they didn't know. The way he served HaKadosh Baruch Hu also was this way. Because while he was in Egypt, the whole time, he served HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Targum says, on the Posuk Vateshev Be'esun Kashtoi, Al Dikayim Kiyam Uraisu B'Sisra. He fulfilled the Torah secretly. Whether it was in the house of Potiphar, or the dungeon, or the palace of Pare, or as the mighty king, viceroy and world wealth, he fulfilled the entire Torah. But where? The Sisra, secretly. Nobody knew it. And not only he, but his children also, Ephraim and Manasseh. Ephraim and Manasseh was Keruven v'Shimon Yuli. When Yaakov saw them, he said, these are not your sons. These are like my sons. They're equal to my own sons, the 12 Shvatim. Where did they learn all of this? They learned this in the palace of Pare. Now, where was this source? This source, Yosef was born the last of all the Shvatim. And the last, all the time, is just the opposite of the first. The first comes out, the first has the nature of a mighty conqueror that goes in front. The last has a nature, he can be a conqueror also, but he goes in the back. Okay. Now when we say, and that's the midas of Seser and Snius, it's the quality of being very low profile.
Now, when we say he was the last, either was Binyamin who was after him. We find all of the time that there was a great bond between Yosef and Binyamin. We once gave a long shiur on that. We don't have time now. But there was a great bond between the two. And the two were identical in many ways. They were both the only two sons of Rochel. The name of Yosef testified to Binyamin. Because when Rochel had Yosef, she said, I will call him Yosef because Yosef Hashem li ben acher, because now I'll have another son. She called Yosef because of Binyamin. And we find just the opposite also, that the Gemara says, that we quoted before, that Yosef should have given birth to 12 sons like Ephraim and Manasseh, that would all be Shvatim. There was a reason he didn't. Binyamin gave birth to the other 10 and called them all by the name of Yosef. And Binyamin, it's in this which Parsha came down, he asked Binyamin, do you have sons? He says, yes. How many 10? What are their names? They're all strange names. She says, what are the meaning of all these names? He says, they're all named after my brother that was lost from me. So you see, Yosef's name testified to Binyamin. Binyamin's names of his 10 sons testified to Yosef. There was always a strong bond between the two, in which made them very, very identical. Now, the Gemara says further. The Gemara says in Perek Yesh Neichlin, in Baba Basra, Omer B'yeinusam, Ruyo Hoyso Bechor Alotzeis Mirochel. Really, the firstborn should have come from Rochel. Because Yaakov, that was his main wife, and Ela told us Yaakov Yosef. Because the main son of Yaakov was Yosef. Ela Shekod Malea Berachamim. But Leah appealed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu so much that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave her the firstborn. So therefore was Reuben. But because of the great modesty that was in Rochel, he gave her back the right to have the firstborn. Yosef was given the firstborn birthright, like we mentioned, and what schus? And the schus mitaychs niushalo, and the schus of the great modesty of Rochel. So we see that this was ingrained in his birth. What was the great modesty in Rochel? Gemara says, because she protected her sister from becoming publicly embarrassed. When Lavan made the switch and he sent in Leah instead of Rochel, she could have told Yaakov. They had made up a way of communication, and Yaakov would have thrown her out. And she would have been publicly embarrassed, and she protected her from that public embarrassment. That was her great stius. This was her great modesty. We see also that the brochas that the father gave Yosef also was like this. The main brocha that he gave him was Ben Peres Yosef, Ben Peres Ale Ayin. Peres means the son of beauty. Now Yosef was very, very handsome. He was handsome for a reason, because it states that he looked just like his father. And his father was perfect. Yaakov, it states that his image was hewed out in the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that was not the brocha that he gave him. Ben Peres Yosef, when he called him Ben Peres Yosef, the Targum and the Meforshim say Ben Chaim. He blessed him with Chaim. Ali Oyen. Ali Oyen means against the eye. Chaim is not necessarily beauty, but Chaim is the grace which is in the eye of the beholder. In other words, there are plenty of people who are good looking, but they do not attract such charm and goodness when you look at them. There are other people who might not be good looking, but the eye only sees good in them. This is what chen is. That's why it states sheker achen. Chen doesn't go with the parameters of perfection and beauty. Chen goes with when you look at something or you look at someone and you see only happiness and goodness in them. And it makes you happy. That's why wherever it states Chen, it always says Ein. Nosato Chen be'einecho. It's related to the other person's eye. This was the brocha that was given to Yosef. The Gemara says that's why Yosef was leyishlet by Ein Hora. Ein Hora never affected Yosef. Because an Ein Hora is when someone looks at you and he sees he wants to do you harm. He has envy, jealousy, revenge, he wants to do you harm. But if a person is a Baal Chen, and every time someone looks at him, he only sees goodness and happiness, and it makes him happy, this is the best protection from Ein Hora. And this is a wonderful disguise for a person. It's a camouflage. That wherever he goes, people only see goodness in him. This went hand in hand with the tznius, with the incognito of Yosef. This came also, the Gemara says, from the modesty of Yosef, because when at the confrontation with Esav, Yosef stood up and he blocked Esav's vision and he wouldn't let Esav look at his mother Rochel. He said, Eino Roma, he has haughty eyes, I will not let this evil person cast his vision on my mother. So he was protecting his mother also the same way. And we noticed, if you look through the parsha, you see when that Yosef came down to Egypt, it states that he found grace in the eyes of Potiphar. He found grace in the eyes of the wife of Potiphar. He found grace in the eyes of the head of the prison. He found grace in the eyes of Pharaoh. He found grace in the eyes of the Egyptians. He was a Ben Poris. Whenever anyone looked at him, they only saw goodness. And they wanted to do good to him. And Yosef gave this brocha to his brother in this week's parsha. It was last week's parsha. I think it's this week. When he said, now last week, Hashem yoch necho b'ni. When he met Binyamin, he says, Hashem should give you chen. And Yaakov gave this brocha to his sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. He said, B'yidgul arev, your sons shall multiply like fish. Sages say, what's the brocha multiplied by fish? There are no species in the world that can multiply in such abundance as fish. Why? Because they're mechusa mina ayin. They are concealed from the eye, and then the ayin hora cannot take effect on them. So therefore, Ephraim and Manasseh should be multiply like fish. They should be free from the ayin hora. Mora brings that there were descendants of Yosef that used to say, I'm not worried about the ayin hora, mi Yosef kas, you know, because I come from Yosef. And also because of this reason, Ephraim and Manasseh had great abundance of people. And the Gemara says, Ein habrocha mitsuya ela al dover shemachus min ha'ayin. Brocha has to be on something which is low profile. You have something high profile, it's not good. Ein hora gets hold of it. It has to be on something that's low profile. And Yosef was always low profile. Even when he was high profile, it was low profile because of this brocha. And because of that, he had abundant of children, descendants, and he was the Baal Brocha. Everything he touched turned to gold. He became the wealthiest man in the world. It states, the Gemara Psochim tells us, Malakit Kol Kesef Shebaylam. He went and gathered in all of the wealth of the world. Now, his quality of kingship also was in this manner. For example, he was never a king like Yehuda and his descendants, the Goloi, Eretz Yisrael, where the whole world knew about it. He was a king in Golus. Golus always, the Jew is a low profile.
He was a king in Egypt. And also we find the same by the descendants of Binyamin, Mordechai and Esther. Esther became a queen of the whole world. But where? In Modiah Paras, Persia. Mordechai became a viceroy in Persia by Ahasuerus. Also, when Yosef marched in the desert, he did not go in front like Yehuda. He went third. The camp of Yosef, which was Ephraim, Manasseh, and Binyamin, was Shlishi. They were the third. They came on the west side. Maral says, why the third? Because they were totally covered by the others. This was Yosef's meter, Yosef's quality. Something in the middle becomes camouflaged by the others. And Marav is also significant. Marav is the place of the Shekhinah. The Shekhinah is Yeshiv B'Seisr, also dwells in secrecy, like we find by the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Beis HaMikdash was in the territory of Binyamin, and the Mishkon Shiloh was in the territory of Yosef. Now, Yosef had another quality also, but which we see will be related. He was known as Yosef HaTzadik. The sages refer to him as Yosef HaTzadik, Yosef Tzidkayo. Why? The quality of Tzadik. Tzadik is, the Targum says, is kushta, that of exact uprightness, exact truth. Not to the right and not to the left. Perfect in the middle. Actually, this was very close to the quality of Yaakov Avinu, because it states Yaakov Avinu ish tam yeshiva olim. Tam tamimus means yosher, absolutely straight, not to the right or to the left. Yosheva olim, the quality of Torah. Torah Hashem tamima, Kudis Hashem yishorim. And he was the one who inherited the main qualities of Yaakov. But where do we see this in Yosef? That he could not be influenced to the right or to the left. He was always perfect in the middle. He wouldn't be too much to the left, not too much to the right. Where do we see this? Chazal bring it that when Yaakov came down and he saw all of his sons, it states, Yosef hayah b'Mitzrayim. And Yosef was in Egypt. What does it mean Yosef was in Egypt? Yaakov was very worried. Yosef was his prize. He taught him everything that he knew. He was very worried what became of Yosef in Egypt. In Lithuania and other countries, when someone went to America or South Africa, they worried about him. Was his geworden from there? Are they still Yidden? Are they still Jews? Yaakov was very worried, because he went there as a young boy. He was subjected to slavery, subjected to be an alien. He was thrown into the dungeon of Egypt. So that means his chaverim were the criminals of Egypt. Egypt was the land of abominations. So you can imagine what the dungeons of Egypt were. Then he was tested by the wife of Potiphar. Then he was tested. If that wasn't enough, it states power corrupts, wealth corrupts. He rose up to the highest society of Egypt. Royalty, power, wealth. Well, even Paray was afraid of him. The Gemara tells us, even Paray. And it was at that time when Egypt was becoming the mightiest empire in the world because of Yosef and the famine. So Yaakov was very, very worried. Probably his best hopes were that he's still a Yisrael kosher, he's a kosher Jew. But to be Yosef, no, that's impossible. So that's what the Torah tells us, be Yosef hoya be Mitzrayim. He says, Yosef, that was by Yaakov, and Yosef, that was by Egypt, b'mhoyo melech, and he was the king of Egypt, is still the same Yosef. He didn't move an inch to the right or to the left. Perfect. How is this possible? That's why the Chazal say Yosef HaTzadik. And not only that, there are some people that can be tzaddikim for themselves, but his sons were the same way. When Yaakov saw his sons, and he says, these sons are as great as Reuben and Shimon. Reuben and Shimon grew up in my home, in Eretz Yisrael, amongst all of the brothers, the mothers, but not Egypt. Yosef was able to produce a Reuben and Shimon in Egypt. So this was the amazing quality of Yosef, of Yosef HaTzadik. Now, this is related to the other quality, because the other quality is a quality where the person keeps very low profile, very much in the background, and therefore nothing influences him. Not when you're always on the front lines. And Yosef, therefore, was of this character, where he was able to withstand all influences and still walk a perfectly straight line. Many times people get drifted to the left, others get drifted to the right. He walked a perfectly straight line. He was able to withstand all external influences. When something is public, it's called porutz. Porutz means open. When something is open, you let all external influences in. The word seiser comes from the word closed. When you're closed, no external influences can come in. And he walks perfectly straight. Now, this doesn't mean that his quality was to remove himself from all the influences. That's not a tzaddik. To run out to the desert and remove yourself from all the influences, that's not a tzaddik. That's not the tzidkis we're talking about. We're talking about Yosef that was in the middle of the greatest tumah in the world. He was in the house of Potiphar. He was in the dungeon of Egypt. He was in the palace of Pharaoh. He lived both in the worst poverty and in the greatest wealth. Didn't run into the desert. That's the tzidkis. Not to run away from the evil, because a person cannot escape evil in this world. He can't escape the Sotna. He can't escape the Yitzhahara. It'll all go with him. All go with him. You go to the top of Mount Everest. It'll all go with you. You go see the monks there and see what kind of tzaddikim they are. See? But right in the greatest abominations, and Yaakov said, "Beni hoya melech," even a king, and still he's Yosef, my Yosef. He was able to protect himself, that there could be no external influences on him. And even his sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, he gave that to him. And we find the same thing by his descendants. This is exactly what the Chazal prays Mordechai and Esther. It says Esther was like a lily that grew up between the rocks. It wasn't a rosy bed, a soft bed of roses. Esther had to be the tzaddikus, being the wife of a Melech Rosho, of one of the most evil tyrants that ever walked the face of the earth. And Mordechai had to be his viceroy. And still, omdom b'tzidkum. This is tzidkus. This is righteousness. And this comes from this quality. Now, where was Yosef's shortcoming? His shortcoming was,
it states in the Torah,
in the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev, Bayove Yosef es dibosam ro el avihem. He went and he brought Loshon Hora and his brothers to the father. What kind of Loshon Hora? Called Rosha Yereya Be'echov, the Medrash says. Everything wrong that he would see in his brothers, B'nei Leo, Hayamagid Lovi, he will come and tell his fathers. His father. What would he say? He said they were eating Eva Minachai. They would eat from an animal before it was killed, before it was shechted. Mizalzlim b'nei ashvoches likreis and avodim. They would refer to the sons of the maidservants as avodim, as slaves. And chashudim al arayis. They were suspected on immoral acts, indecent acts. Now, this is very questionable. Firstly, the Shvatim themselves were tzaddikim. So, where is he getting such a case against them? Secondly, if Yosef was the Yosef HaTzaddik, what's he saying so much Lashon Hara for? So the Maral explains. All the Mefarshim go into this, but the Maral explains. He says the Medrash doesn't say they were doing this. The Medrash says Chashudim. He suspected them of doing this. Why did he suspect them of doing this? He says he saw them being somewhat cruel to the sheep and to the herds. And Eivir Min Achai, the Torah asked that because of cruelty. A Jew is not allowed to be an Achsor. Cruel. This is not a quality of Yisrael. This is a quality of the Avodah Zarah idolaters, but not of Israel. For example, in Shulchan Aruch is brought that when you pluck feathers from a goose, it's brought a shayla, because sometimes you can make it into a treifa. So it says, no, it's all right, but a Jew shouldn't do it, because it's mainly midas achzorius. It can bring cruelty in a person, in a Jew. Jews are Rachmonim. He saw them when they were dealing with the brothers from Leah and Rachel. They spoke in one manner. When they were dealing with the brothers from Zilpah and Bilhah, they spoke in another manner. So he suspected them of looking at them as second-rate citizens, Abodim. And they were equal to all the other sons, like we gave in the shir a few weeks ago. Arayis, indecent acts. He saw that when they were dealing with the daughters of the land, they were getting a little too friendly, a little too cordial with them, which he felt they shouldn't have. But Cholila, he never saw them doing anything wrong. It says Hashudim, he suspected. And he felt it was his responsibility to tell the father. Now, this was particularly by Yosef, because Yosef's midah was that of tzaddik. Tzaddik is the one who walks perfect. And a tzaddik is medaktek mi'od. A tzaddik is very exacting. And he was being very exacting. So that's why, in particular, he saw these things. If that's the case, so there was nothing wrong. What was wrong? No, the Maral says it was wrong, and he says a very important principle. He says tzidkis, righteousness, means to be medaktek al atzmai, to be exacting with yourself, but not with others. That's not tzidkis. With others, you have to be donlem lekapskus. You have to give them always the benefit of the doubt. You must be exacting with yourself, but not with others. This was where he was lacking. He was going for total shlemus, total perfection in righteousness. Righteousness means to demand from yourself totality, perfection. But with others, no. You say, look, it's not so important. take it easy. You did this, probably you had a good reason for doing it. You probably meant something else. That's it. And this was his downfall. And it led to Lashon Hara. And Lashon Hara, the Chofetz Chaim brings from the Sifrei Nister, that Lashon Hara brings Golus. And this brought Golus to Yosef, where he was exiled, and everything else. But he went down there for a purpose, just like Yehuda went down there for a purpose. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give him the opportunities to reach this total righteousness that he was striving for, because he was going to become, he and descendants, great kings in Israel, and he was the Bechor, and he had to reach this perfection. And we see he did reach it. Where do we see it? In this week's Sedra. This Maisa of the Eivor Min Achai, of the Arayis, of the, he called the brothers Avodim, this whole business, this was Hashudim, only suspected. And it's a terrible thing to be Cheshed B'Ksherim. You're not allowed to suspect people of doing things that they might not have done or might not have intentions for. Okay. But what the brothers did to Yosef, this is not suspicion. The brothers tried to murder Yosef. Vayisnaklu alav la'misay. There was nothing, second thoughts here. They tried to murder him. They threw him in a pit. And they were going to leave him there to die. First of all, they were going to kill him. Except Reuven itzilom yodim, Reuven's sake. Then they threw him in a pit in the pasture. And they were going to leave him there and he would have died. Then Yehuda's sake. So at best, they sold him as a slave. So here we're not talking about any illusions. And because they sold him as a slave, and they never told the father, he suffered for 22 years in Egypt. Now here, we're not speaking of illusions or being cheshed with shame or suspecting innocent people, or so on. So Yosef had every right to hate him in the ultimate of hatred. Every right. I mean, they were reitzkim, they were murderers as far as he was concerned. Every right to hate them. Every right to take revenge. And every right to make them suffer for all of his sufferings. And the brothers expected this. They absolutely expected it. That's why when they found out it was Yosef, they became panicky. And when he treated them well, they only felt it was b'shus the father. And that's what we find in Parshas, in later on, Parshas Vayechi, that when the father died, or it was at the end of Vayigash, when the father died, they came and they said, we're your slaves, we'll do anything you want, because they thought for sure now he was going to unleash upon them the 22 years he was waiting for revenge. And this Yosef had every right to do. Look, if he had such fury against them on a slight suspicion of the way they were speaking to the daughters of the land, enough to cause him to bring Lashon Hara all the time to the father, so how much fury should he have unleashed on them when they actually tried to murder him? And at best they sold him as a slave for 22 years. Yet, what do we find? We find that when he revealed himself in Parshas Vayigash, it states, this is in Perek Memhei, Pasuk Gimel, Dalin, Hey, Ayem Yosef Alechav, Ani Yosef, I am Yosef. And they couldn't answer him. They were so panicky. And they were afraid. They backed off. So he said, I am Yosef, Achichem, your brother, Hashem, Machalte, Maisim, Mitzroim, that you sold to Egypt. Vi ato al te otzfu vi al yichar beinechem. Do not be upset and do not be angry at each other. Ki machalti maisi heino, because you sold me here. Ki lemich yoshlachani yelekim lifnechem. You didn't sell me here. He says, you didn't do anything wrong. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sold me here. It wasn't you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu forced you to sell me here in order that I can come and save a whole world because of the 7 years of famine that went through the whole world and save you. Kizesh Nosaim Horaov Bekerva Oritz. Already there is 2 years of famine throughout the whole world. And there'll be another 5 years without any plowing or harvesting. But Yishlacheni Elakim Lifnechem, you didn't sell me here. Hashem sent me here before you, Losum Lachem Shedis Boritz, in order that I can save you and our father and the family. Ulahach Yishlachem Lifleta Gdola. And be a great salvation for you. Ba'ato. Then again he says, Lei atem shalachtem esiheinu. You didn't send me here. Ki Elokim, Hashem. Vaisimeni lo'ov lefarai. And Hashem made me into an advisor, a father to Parai. Ulo'odein lechol beisai. And a lord over his whole house. U'meishel bechol eretz mitzroi. And the ruler over the whole land of Egypt. This is what he told him. Now he's speaking almost like someone that has gone out of his mind. Here, they tried to kill him, his brothers, and they sold him into slavery for 22 years, and he's telling them, you didn't sell me. What are you worried about? You didn't do anything wrong. They tried to kill him. They threw him into a pit. The Gemara says it was Nachashim v'Akrabim, there were scorpions and snakes in the pit. They sold him. You didn't do it. No. Kodesh Baruch Hu sent me down here. And for a wonderful purpose. That I could save a whole world, and that I could save you and your father, our father, and that I'll become the king, and I'm a father to Parai. And Odin Lechol Beise, I'm the Lord over his whole house. Umeshul Bechol Eretz Mitzrayim, I'm the ruler of Egypt. Kumta Yashikayach, he was saying, I must thank you for what you did. Now, this is Tzidkus at its perfection. This is righteousness in the ultimate. Where from yourself you exact perfection. From others you try to justify their acts to the extreme. And here he did it. This ultimate act, which cannot be justified, he was able to justify. And here he reached his perfection of Yosef HaTzadik. Plus he had there the whole business there. And he reached his total perfection. So we see that this was the strife that was going on between Yosef and Yehuda. They were both destined to become great kings and leaders in Israel, they and their descendants. We see their greatnesses. We see their shortcomings. We see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them both opportunity to perfect their shortcomings, which they both did. And from them came the great leadership to Israel. This gives us a good explanation in these parshas.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085 and via post at P.O. Box 66226 Broadway, 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.